Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the world of innovation, business, design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazlin Iso. Today, we're joined by three brand new label mates, new experts to the Label Sessions Network, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Welcome to Jimmy Barber. Jimmy is a transformation expert with a calm head and a sharp toolkit. He's best known for stepping into messy, high-pressure situations and getting results. And also, hello and welcome to David Wadler. David is a founder turned angel investor who's done the hard graft of building and exiting a startup and now devotes his time to helping others do it better. And also a big welcome to Yanis Jacobs. Yanis is an executive producer who thrives in the chaos of commercials, shoots, music videos, and tight turnarounds, getting the job done without losing the creative edge. A lot of people are a tiny bit angry at AI this week. So in the States, academics are angry that AI is making it impossible to set essay tasks anymore. But students are also complaining about their lecturers using AI to create courses. We in South Africa, people are very angry with Elon Musk currently and his AI Grok for spreading some serious misinformation and then sort of doubling down on his own personal incorrect views on the political situation in the country. Is there a way to design products for a healthy interaction with AI? What are the ways we can create products with AI that make customers happy rather than angry? Yanis, I think you're the perfect one to kick this one off.
Yeah, I absolutely think we can find a way to have a healthy relationship with AI. I really support it. I know there are some challenges we have to face, but I believe it's a tool that can make us better. And yeah, I think that one of the key points is transparency. That's the key thing. If you are, no, as you said, the problem with the essays and the schools was because they were not transparent enough. And and now in Europe, I have knowledge that they are building some new laws about it, that they will, some European regulations that require professionals to disclose when you are using AI to your clients, right? And that's, I think it's really important because then they know it, and you are just telling that you are using this tool to make a better product, not to just use it to not work, right? It's what you think when you see it. Oh, this person is using AI because it doesn't want to work. But I think if you use it properly, the work that you can deliver, it's so much better. So for me, transparency is a key point. And then also with the case of Elon Musk, of course, a lot of people are going to be using it for the bad cause. So a part of transparency, and I think there also has to be like internal controls and ethical oversight about the tool that they are using, for sure. I know in the States and China, it's going to be more difficult. They are very liberal in this sense. But in Europe, they're going to be strong regulations about it. And I think from my point of view, that's a good thing. Because if not, it can be really dangerous also. It's a very powerful tool. But yes, I think we can have a healthy relationship with it. And I'm really enjoying it and very passionate about it. Yeah,
100%. And I think this also really raises questions about creating your own GPT. So, for example, here at Label Sessions, we have one that is for our internal use that we've created and have given it sort of a Label Sessions brain, which really helps us to know that the information is, you know, a little bit more correct than some of the ones that we don't necessarily know what the owners are up to. We don't necessarily know what the developers are up to. And I think that was the case with obviously the Elon Musk one, where the AI was being told to deliver information very specific to what its owner wanted, rather than the actual information.
Think about, you know, AI. I think there are a number of things. You know, you talked about like the quality of the output of the content. Yanis was talking about, you know, the transparency, you know, professionally You also, when you introduced the topic, we're talking about academia. I have two teenage children, and they are militantly anti-AI for school. You know, they find themselves in the quiet minority. But, you know, it's almost like taking performance enhancing drugs or steroids. You know, you can get super muscular and get on stage and look wonderful. And if really like you're ultimately just outcome oriented, you want to get the top grade or you want to have the biggest muscle, like that may be the best solution for you. But, you know, if you're a student and you are having the AI do the work, you're not learning. And if you are taking copious amounts of performance enhancing drugs, you still have to work hard in the gym, but you are doing other terrible things to your body. So there are always costs to all of these things. And I think it's going to be an interesting, you know, couple of decades as we navigate, you know, through what's going to become the new normal. AI is going to be pervasive in our lives. And this sort of, you know, disruption and dislocation is stuff we've seen before, right? Industrialization, you know, the introduction of the automobile. The U.S. doesn't produce anything for the services economy. So we tend to get through these things, but I suspect it's going to be bumpy for a while.
For sure, yeah. I agree on that.
I think to your point about how we can use it more effectively, I think one of the things, this is like David says, we've seen these changes before many, many times. But on some level, we're not learning from our mistakes that we've made in the past. And a good example, you know, you can leverage AI much better if you just listen to your customers and listen to your users. Instead, a lot of organizations have, you know, at times very technical people designing it from an internal perspective. You know, how do we save money? How do we make things more efficient? As opposed to what do our customers really need from us? How do they want to interact with us? And listen to that. And if you do that, you can design things that will be popular, will be used, will be useful. At the moment, we're not doing that in a lot of occasions because we're all too busy either looking internally or just jumping on the bandwagon. You know, no CEO is going to get in bother for kicking off an AI project at the moment, are they? You know, so it's a little bit of a great solution looking for a problem, as opposed to how do I use it in my organization to solve the problems, the challenges, the opportunities that I have at the moment. We're going to a default position. And, you know, I just love to see the number of the organizations that jumping on the bandwagon, that haven't even got the basics in place in their organization. They haven't even got their technology in the right shape. They haven't even got their data in the right way. But it's all right. We'll do an AI project. We'll lay it over the top of it. That's going to work, isn't it? And I think that's one of the challenges that we face at the moment is just, you know, looking at what's our current problems and what are the right solutions, as opposed to let's just jump on a trend.
And seeing it really as the tool that it is, rather than the sort of all eggs in one basket type of solution. It's not a solution. It really is just a tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was just going to say, and to circle it back into the naming thing, I had forgotten Grok was a thing. And can I just say, is that man allergic to good names?
Grok actually has a meaning in the computer science world, but most people don't have developments in like software engineering. So, you know, for a specific audience, but yeah, probably not his audience. And by the way, I was just thinking about what Jimmy was saying, and I had this thought. I'm like, if Jimmy were on this podcast 5 or 6 years ago, he could have said the exact same words and just replaced the words, the term AI, with blockchain. And it would have been like, oh, we're doing blockchain. Well, for what? We don't know, but we're doing blockchain.
Yeah, blockchain, robotics, machine learning, yeah. You know, IVRs, you know, CRMs, you name it. It's the same old, same old.